Hello everyone, this is PostgreS FM, podcast about guess what Postgres. I'm Nikolai and hi Michael.
Hello Nikolai.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good. So we discussed before the call that we have a few options for topics and it was my choice, but somehow you chose, right? You chose the you chose a health check or checkup. Postgres health checks and how to check the health of Postgres clusters periodically, why to do so, what to look at, and so on, right?
Well, you said you had two ideas. One of them was this one, and I was like, I like that idea. And then you explained the other one. I was like, I like that idea too. So I think we've got lots of good ones left to go.
Yeah, we need to discuss the internal policy, how transparent should we be, right?
Yeah, well, and nice a reminder to people that you can submit ideas for future episodes on our Google Doc or by mentioning us on Twitter or anything like that.
Right. That's good. I know people go there sometimes, and I think it's good to remind this is opportunity, and this feeds our podcast with ideas. So yeah, good point. So health check, where to start? Goals maybe, right? Or
well, I think definitions actually. I think because I was doing a little bit of research around this, it is a slightly loaded term. When you say health check, it could be, for example, software just checking that something's even alive, but all the way through to kind of consultancy services around, you know, that kind of
Select one is working. That's good. So
yeah. So what do you mean when you say health check? What do you mean?
Yeah, well, I my perception on this term is very broad, of course, because in my opinion, like what we mean, it's not like looking at monitoring and see everything is green or something, no alerts or nothing. No. It's about something that should be done not every day, but also not once per 5 years, slightly more frequently, right? Like, for example, once per quarter or twice per year. And it's very similar to checking health of humans or complex technology like cars, right? Sometimes you need to check.
Yeah.
And it doesn't eliminate the need to have continuous monitoring. Like, for example, you in your car, you have various checks constantly being working, for example, tire pressure. I think for humans, it's big disadvantage that we don't have monitoring. It's improving. For example, modern smartwatch can provide you heartbeat rate and so on. But still, we monitoring. When I complain about how poor some Postgres monitoring systems are, I remind myself how poor human body monitoring is right now still. And we can monitor technological systems much better than non-technological. So yeah, we have some things constantly being checked, but still we need sometimes to perform deeper and wider analysis for different goals. First goal is to ensure that everything currently is fine and nothing is overlooked. And the second goal is to predict and prevent some problems in the nearest future. And the third goal is things like how we will live in the next few years. It involves capacity planning and proper planning of growth we predict and so on. So these are three key goals, very roughly, right? What do you think?
Yeah, I really like it. And I think the car analogy is particularly good in that I don't think this is true in the US, but in the UK, at least, once a car is a certain age, like 3 years old or something, it's required by law to have an annual health check. We call it an MOT, but it's not just what's wrong with the car now that you need to fix, but it's also looking at what like things that could go wrong and trying to get them replaced before they fail. So there are certain parts of the car that if they haven't been changed in a certain number of years, they have to be changed. So I think that's quite a nice kind of, that's at least two of the goals, looking at what's wrong now, but also if we don't do anything about it, what could go wrong very soon and we should get ahead of it, which is not necessarily something monitoring always is good at.
Yeah, well, in the US, it's very different. No pressure at all. You just change oil and that's it. Everyone is on their own, as I understand, at least in California. And actually, I'm going to argue with myself and with you a little bit. Better technology means less need for health checks. For example, I own a couple of Teslas, and I was very concerned that nobody is replacing anything like filters and so on. And then I needed to replace windshield after some trip to Nevada. And I asked like guys, like check everything, like brake pads and so on. Because I'm worried, like it's already like almost 2 years and nothing. And they said everything is fine. We are going to replace just cabin filter and that's it. No needs to replace anything because it's better technology. So I think, of course, the amount of work that needs to be done. Let's go back to Postgres because it's Postgres podcast, as I said in the beginning. So if we have very old Postgres, it perhaps needs more attention and work to check and maintain good health.
I think there's two axes. I think you're right that technology plays into it, but I think also simplicity versus complexity plays in a part as well. And as Postgres gets more complex, or as your Postgres setup gets more complex, I think actually maybe there's more you need to do. Whereas on the car analogy, I think one of the arguments for things like the electric cars is they're simpler. They have fewer parts. They are easier to maintain. So I think there's also an argument for keeping your Postgres setup. This is one of the arguments for like simplicity in, well, we'll get to some of the specifics, but like on the technology side, for example, if we could get a like bigger than 32-bit transaction IDs, we wouldn't have to monitor as often for wraparound would be less of an issue. If we defaulted to int 8 or big int primary keys instead of int 4, we don't have as many of those issues. So like by certain choices, we can simplify and prevent issues, but also the technology.
And defaults matter a lot. Yeah. Defaults matter. If for example, all our application code or frameworks, and for example, Ruby on Rails made this choice a few years ago, as you said, they default to integer 8 for surrogate primary keys, then -1 report needed, right? At least, we don't need to check primary keys, integer 4 primary keys capacity, and that's good. But of course, complexity of the system can grow, and sometimes we check in Postgres help, we go beyond Postgres, for example, we check connection pooling and how orchestration and automation around Postgres is organized and with the goals to understand the HA, high availability, disaster recovery, these kinds of topics. So, and of course, capacity planning. Will we grow a few years without performance issues or not? But anyway, we can add many things like that. For example, if threads topic succeeds, started by Heike a year ago. If this succeeds, we won't be worried about single CPU core capacity for system processes. Or for example, there is ongoing discussion for PG Bouncer that threading also a good thing. So we won't be bound, process won't be bound by single core. And this is a hard wall to hit. And Postgres processors, they also can hit, some Postgres processors can hit a single core utilization 100%. And even if you have 100 more cores, it doesn't help you, right? So if like I cannot say this is simplicity because technology is similar to EV. It's also like a lot of complex technology behind it, but it's the simplicity of the use, right? Of usage, maybe.
Well, yeah, I would actually argue that let's say we did get threading in Postgres in a major version in a few years' time. Actually, at first, you'd want to be doing health checks more often. Like you'd be more nervous of things going wrong because you've added complexity and things that maybe for over a decade have been working great suddenly may not work as well, or just their patterns may change.
Well, maybe, but let's find some mutual ground here. Maybe, like, we both agree that health checks are needed, right? Or right now, at least. Maybe in Postgres 25, it won't be needed so much because it will be autonomous database.
I personally...
Off topic.
Yeah. I think it's a really good way of keeping a system reliable and avoiding major issues, including downtime and outages and huge things. But I don't... Needed is an interesting word. Like, a lot of the people I see hitting issues are just living in a reactionary world. A lot of them are startups, yeah. And they, yeah. But once things are working well and you've got, like, maybe you're hitting like an inflection point, or you need to capacity plan, or you're in a large established business where outages can be really expensive, it seems wild to me to not be doing semi-regular, right, or if not very regular, health checks.
Right. I think you're very right. There are two categories of people who, for example, go to us for health checks. One is probably the bigger category of people who knew that it's good to have health check, but they only go to us when something bad happens. So yeah. something already hitting. And in this case, it's actually like it's a psychological thing, right? For example, for CTO, Postgres database is just one of the things in infrastructure. Yep. And when it hurts, only then we realize, okay, let's check what can hurt soon as well. What other things can be a problem in this area, Postgres, right? And this is a very good moment to perform health check. Another category is, I would say, wiser guys. They do health checks before launch or like in the initial stage, but at the same time, it's harder to work with them because usually project is smaller, like, and less, it's harder to predict workload patterns, growth rates, and so on. But this is better, of course, to start checking health initially and then return to it after some time.
Yeah, it can go hand in hand with like stress testing as well, can't it? Like, before, I see a lot of people doing this kind of thing before big events, like in the US, you've got Black Friday, Cyber Monday, times where you know there's going to be increased traffic or increased load. Before that, there's a lot of work that people are doing often to just make sure they can. Is that a good time to do a health check?
Right. Yes, but I would distinguish these topics. Load testing and preparation for some events like Black Friday is something else. Health checks, as I see them doing many years, it's quite established field, right? They include review of settings, review of index health, bloat first. Let's talk bloat, both table and index B3, then index health. And we had episode about it. We had episode about bloat, about index health and maintenance. Then query analysis, like, do we have outliers who like attacking us too much in various metrics? I mean, queries in PGSS admins and other extensions. Then static analysis, for example, you mentioned integer 4 primary keys, lack of foreign keys and so on. Because if we see it first time, a lot of findings, right? If we see it second time, maybe since last time, developers added a lot of new stuff, right? And other areas as well. And capacity planning can be strategic, like many years, or it can be before some specific event like Black Friday for e-commerce. In this case, it may involve additional actions like let's do load testing, but I would say normal health check is a simpler task than proper load testing. That's why I'm trying to say it's a separate topic, because if you involve it, health shock suddenly becomes bigger, right? It's like, you can think about it, if you go, like in the US, if you go to a doctor, there's annual health checkup covered by insurance always, right? So it's like your primary care physician doing some stuff, discussing with you, checking many things actually, but it's not difficult. And then if there is some question, you go to a specific doctor. And low testing is a specific doctor, I would say.
Yeah, I was just thinking about timing, if it's more likely that people start the process then, and just like maybe just before they go on a holiday, maybe they go for their annual checkup, or like, I don't know if there's like times where people are more likely to go for those than others. But yeah, should we get into some more specifics?
Yeah, well, speaking of time, to finish this topic, sometimes people just have periodical, you know, like life cycle episodes in their work, right? For example, this is financial year, right? And you plan finances, you spend them, and so on, you manage them. Similar, proper capacity planning and database health management should be also like periodical. You just have some point of time, maybe after some events, for example, after Black Friday, you think, okay, next year, how we expect our growth will look like? How we expect our incident management will look like? And this is a good time to review the health, understand ongoing problems, and try to predict future problems. And also perform capacity planning to understand, do we need to plan big changes, like architectural changes, to sustain the big growth if we predict it in a couple of years, right? In this case, probably you need to think about microservices or sharding or something like that, right? And health check can include this, like overview. And this is big distinction from monitoring, because monitoring very often has very small retention. You see only a couple of weeks or a couple of months, that's it. For existing evolved system, you need a few years of observation, data points, better to have them, right? To understand what will happen in next years. And this is when like health check can help, and capacity planning, maybe load testing as well, but it's additionally, I would say. Yeah, specific topics. So it all starts usually for me specifically. We actually have this tool, Postgres Checkup, and it has big plan. The tool itself implements only, I would say, less than 50% of the plan. The plan was my vision of health check several years ago. I did conference talks about it. At that time, I remember I performed really heavy health checks for a couple of really big companies. It took a few weeks of work. It's like a lot, like deep and wide, and like 100 pages report, PDF of 100 pages. It's like interesting. Executive summary alone was like 5 or 6 pages, like quite big.
Wow.
Well, serious thing.
But
it was for a company which costed more than $10 billion. So, and the Postgres, like the databases observed, few clusters were in the center of this serious business. So it was worth it. And then this tool, this was vision, and we implemented in this tool, we implemented like almost half of this vision. And for me, everything starts with version. Simple thing. Let's check version. Major and minor, and maybe history of it, because both things matter a lot. If your current version is 11, you're already out of what? Out of normal life, right? Because community won't help you, and bugs won't be fixed unless you pay a lot.
And out of security patches as well.
Right, yeah, that's including security also, bugs. If you're on 12, you have time until November, right? So major version is important, and also you are missing a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
For example, from one of recent experiences, if you're on 12, it not only means that you are soon will be having and not non-supported Postgres, but also you lack good things like wall-related metrics in PGSA statements and explain plans, which we are added in the next version, 13, right? You lack a lot of improvements related to logical decoding and replication. Probably you need to move data to Snowflake or between Postgres to Postgres, and you miss a lot of good stuff. So major version also matters a lot, but minor version maybe number one thing. If you also lag in minor version, obviously you probably miss some important fixes and security patches. So here of our tool is using yupgrade, dpsh.com links to explain what, like, yeah, it's a great tool, but now we already like moving towards combining with, like, it's huge list sometimes, right?
Yeah.
If you're lagging like 10 versions, 10 minor versions behind, it's more than like, it's a couple of years of how many of fixes, and like, oh, what's important here, right? Security, but maybe not only security, right? So yeah, we are moving towards trying to summarize this and in understand particular context. Of course, guess what helps? LLM helps here. Like, it's, yeah, I think in the nearest future, we will have interesting things here, like combining observations, why upgrade this diff, and like, this is summary, what matters for you, like almost part of executive summary can be read by CTO. And with links, so like it's not like, yeah.
I hope you're right long term, but I think at the moment the release notes are important enough. Like, the risk of missing something very important is still very high. Like, I think sometimes the LLMs at the moment still, they can be good for like idea generation, but if you want an exhaustive list of what's very important, they can miss things or make things up. So I would still not rely on them for things like reading, which, like, even minor release notes can include things that are very important to do, like maybe a re-indexing is needed and things like that. So
yeah, I agree with you, but I think you are criticizing different idea than I'm describing. I'm not saying, like, first of all, health checks we are doing, and I think in the next few years we'll be doing them still with a lot of manual steps for serious projects. So they, of course, involve DBA who is looking at everything. But LLM can help here. Like, it's usually, you have pressure of timing, right? You need to do this work and a lot of stuff. And change log with 200 items, for example. You check them, but I bet no DBA spends like significant time to check properly. They said they checked, but I don't trust humans as well here, right?
So sorry, I think including them in a report is different to reading them before upgrading. That's a really good point.
Right. So we, like, what I'm trying to say, we try to convince client that it's important to upgrade both minor and major. And we, while explaining, of course, we can provide, we provide the list of for full changes. Why upgrade is great too. But also we want to bring the most like sound arguments, right?
Yeah.
And LLM helps to highlight. Oh, you know, and I, like, it was my long-term vision actually a few years ago. I thought, why upgrade? You take it and it would be great to understand. Oh, there is an item about gist indexes or gene indexes, for example. We have schema here. We can check if we have gene indexes, right? Does it affect us? And if it does, this should be highlighted. This is the idea. And for LLM is good here. It's like it performs some legwork here. I mean, not only LLM, some automation with LLM. And it just helps DBAs not to miss important things, you know. But of course, again, like, I'm sure it should be combined, like, ideally it should be the work from automation and humans. Okay, version, too much for versions. Actually, it's the smallest item usually, right? We don't have time for everything else. What to do? Okay, let's speed up maybe a little bit.
I think we've mentioned a bunch of them already, haven't we? Like, you've done a
whole set. But right, we had episodes separately, but they are super important. Settings go usually second. Settings, it's a huge topic. But from my experience, if I see auto vacuum settings being default, or checkpoint or settings. First of all, max wall size, in my opinion, the most important one, being default 1 gigabyte. Or login settings being default. What else? These kinds of things.
We've done one on the default configuration, but I'm guessing
our favorite random page cost being 4. Right?
Yeah.
Recently we discussed it. These are strong signs to me that we need to pay attention here. Even if I didn't see database yet, I already know that this is a problem.
So this is really useful for that first health check you ever do. Maybe you're a new DBA or new developer on a team and you're trying to do a first health check. When you're doing a second health check or subsequent ones, are you diffing this list of settings and seeing what's changed in the last year? Or what?
Good question. We have reports that can help us to understand that, for example, checkpointer needs reviewing, reconsideration, checkpointer settings, or auto vacuum needs reconsideration. So, yeah, you are right. I'm describing here, like, I first met this database and reviewing it. But, second is easier usually, but if it grows fast, it can be challenging as well. So sometimes we need to revisit. Yeah, but settings, it's a huge topic. I just wanted to highlight the like easy, low-hanging fruit we usually have. Defaults is low-hanging fruit. For example, if auto vacuum scale factor insert or regular, it's default, like 10%. For any OTP database, I would say it's too high, way too high.
Yeah.
So, yeah, many things like that. And login settings. If I see login settings are default, I guess people don't look at database properly yet, and we need to adjust them and so on. But second time is easier usually, I agree. Second time is like you just visit things that change a lot. So, bloat, estimates. Tables, indexes, quite easy, right? We usually don't want, very roughly, we don't want anything to be higher than 40, 50%. Depends, of course, but this is normal. And converting to number of bytes always helps. Like people answer, oh, my database is 1 terabyte and I have like 200 gigabytes of table and index bloat. Wow. Of course, we have this asterisk, like comment, remark that it's an estimate. It can be very, 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 very wrong. We discussed, we had an episode about bloat and auto vacuum as well, very related topic here. And then from like table bloat, index bloat, from index bloat, we already go to index health, which is, of course, index bloat included, but also unused indexes, redundant indexes, well, rarely used indexes, slightly, like it's rarely used to report. But also invalid indexes, unindexed foreign keys. What else? Maybe that's it.
Overlapping? Like
redundant. We call that redundant.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, great. Yeah.
So, yeah, and we just talk about index maintenance. And I usually, if it's first time, I explain why it's so important to implement index maintenance and why we should understand that we do need to rebuild indexes from time to time.
How are you doing any corruption checks? Or I'm guessing maybe not in this case.
Oh, that's a great question, actually. I think we can include this, but proper check is quite heavy.
Yeah. One of the nice things about this tool is it's like a lot of these, it's been designed to be lightweight in this case, right?
Yeah, so, it's very lightweight. It was battle tested in very heavily loaded clusters. And it limits itself with statement timeout like 30 seconds or even 15. I don't remember from top of my head, but if it takes too long, sometimes we just miss some reports because statement timeout. We don't want to be a problem. Observer effect.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And if we talk about indexes, okay, index maintenance, quite like straightforward topic already, well studied. And of course, we don't forget replicas, and we also like don't forget about age of statistics, because if it was reset yesterday, we cannot draw proper conclusions, right? Because maybe these indexes were not used in last 24 hours, but okay, anyway, we had index maintenance episode.
Yes. I have a couple of questions on like the cluster health. So replication, are you looking at delay at all, or like what are you looking at when it comes to replication health?
That's a good question. I think I doubt we have replication lags being checked by this tool at all. It's usually present in monitoring. So we, as a part of broader health check, we not only we use health check, Postgres checkup report, but we also talk with the customer and check what they have in monitoring. And sometimes we install secondary monitoring, which we have, and gather at least one day of observations and include everything. And also discussion matters. This is probably what automation won't be having anytime soon, is live discussion, trying to understand pain points, like what bothers you, what is the issue recently, right? What issue do you expect to happen soon? This live discussion at high level may help prioritize further research. So proper health check includes both automated reports, but and these like kinds of. So there we can check replication, but usually if people don't mention replication lags being an issue, they have it in monitoring, we just skip this, usually. Sometimes they mention, for example, a lot of wall is generated and we say, okay, let's go to persistent statements and check wall metrics, try to understand why we generate so much wall, optimize some queries, enable wall compression if it's not enabled, and so on and so on. Also disk, let's just check what kind of disks you have. It's a big topic.
Yeah. Last question I had was another thing that I imagine is very important to check the first time you want to know kind of the overall system health, or at least like setup health, but might be tricky to automate or quickly run a query for, is what's the health of the backup process the risk?
You're asking questions. Yeah. If you check the plan, which is in README of the Postgres checkup, this included there, and checkbox is not checked, of course.
Oh, okay. Right? Nice.
Yeah, we thought about automating this, but we have so many different situations, different backup tools used, different managed providers, and so on. Like every time it's quite different. We have a wide range of situations.
Yeah. I wasn't actually thinking about Postgres checkup the tool. I was thinking more about health check. Like as part of a health check, you'd probably want to check you can restore.
Did we have an episode about backups and disaster recovery at all? If no, let's just plan it, because it's not a topic for 1 minute. It's a huge topic and probably,
of course,
yeah, maybe number one topic for DBA, because it's the worst nightmare if backups are lost and data loss happened, right? Obviously, we include this to consideration unless this is managed service. If it's managed service, we have guys who are responsible for it, right? Well, it brings us to this topic, managed versus self-managed. Because, for example, HA, since not long ago, both RDS and GCP Cloud SQL, they allow you to initiate failover to test it, right? So, like, not only like you rely on them in terms of HA, in terms of if one node is down, a failover will happen, but you can also test it, and this is super important. Backups, it's like black box, we cannot access files as we discussed last time, but you can test restoration, right? And it's fully automated, and maybe you should to do it if you have series system running on RDS, because as I understand, RDS itself doesn't do it for you. They rely on some global data, as I understand. They don't test every backup.
All I mean is, if I was a new DBA going into a new company and I want, like, one of my first tasks was to do a health check, that would be one of the things that I would think of as including as in that health check. Maybe a new consultant would as well.
DR and HA, two fundamental two-letter terms, right? You definitely, if you're starting working with some database seriously, you definitely need to allocate good amount of time for both these topics. Like good, it means like at least a couple of days for both to deeply understand for example, if you talk about backups, you need to understand RPO, RTO, real and desired, to check if we have document, where it's documented, and procedures defined to maintain these objectives. These are super serious topics, And for any infrastructure engineer, I think it's quite clear. For any SRE, it should be quite clear that these are two SLOs that you need to keep in mind and always revisit and maintain and have monitoring that covers them and so on. But this is, again, like this is maybe in health check, we just need to check if, and understand if there is a problem here, right? To study these topics, it's similar to load testing topic. It's like special doctor. Yeah. So, yeah.
Nice.
What else? What else? Let's to wrap up, maybe like a couple of final things. I like to check query analysis in table form. In table form, it's quite exotic maybe because people got used to some graphs, of course, historical data. It's great. But when I look at table data for PGStar statements with all these metrics and derived metrics, it gets me a very good feeling of workload. So to understand that, it's great. And also static analysis.
Ordered by total, total time, I think, because we're looking at system level health.
Yeah. We total time is default for us because we talk about resources. But if you aim to analyze the situation for end users, you need to order by mean time. And sometimes you need to order by different metrics. Sure. For example, as we discussed above, earlier, wall metric, for example, right? Sometimes temporary files, for example, if we generate a lot of temporary files, we want to order by temporary files. In this case, sometimes we just generate additional reports manually.
Yeah. Makes
and
sense.
Check them. Yeah. And actually, that's it. not difficult, right?
No, do you see a lot of people doing this in-house? I know a lot of consultancies, including yourselves, offer this as a service. Like, do you see what the pros and cons of those?
Well, usually in-house, if you do it forever, you don't see problems or you don't prioritize them well because we have bloat, but we some kind of life still, right? We are not down. We have, for example, 5 terabyte unpartitioned table, right? But it's kind of fine, maybe, right? And so on. But when external people come, at least temporarily, or for example, you hire a new DBA, DBRE.
Yes.
This is a good point to revisit and reprioritize things and avoid problems in the future, right? So that's why, like, fresh blood, fresh look is good here, right?
Yeah,
but usually people get a lot of value during first checkup, health check. Then smart people implement periodical health checks. And then just like I would say, like in 1 or 2 years, if things change significantly, this is when you need to talk again. Because if health check was full-fledged in the first 1 or 2 years will be fine and you will be like your team will be performing all the problems or solving all the problems knowing what to do, right? Honestly, give me any database, I will find problems easily. So, I mean, actual live production database, not some synthetic.
Yeah.
Anyway, like summary is don't postpone this. Perform health check, plan it and do.
Yeah.
Check your health.
I had one last thing to mention. I met a few people at PG Day Paris. So hi to everyone who's listening from there. And if you're watching on YouTube and just listening to the audio, we do also have an audio only version in the show notes. So you don't have to waste your precious bandwidth and data on watching us. And if you listen to the audio and didn't know we had a YouTube, then now you know that too.
Right. We also have a transcript if you like reading better. And I think it's quite good. It's quite good. Actually, guys who are listening, please check transcript and let us know if you think it's good to read or it's hard to read. I would like to know what you think about quality of transcript, because I was thinking about, you know, like improving this and having like some, not a book, right, but a kind of set of our discussions we had over almost last 2 years as just a set of texts, because some people just like reading, right? So if people find the quality good, I think it's worth investing to organize it better and maybe provide some more links and pictures maybe and so on. So this is the idea we discussed some time ago. I think I will pursue it soon. But I need to know what people think about quality of recent transcripts we have on Postgres.
What's the best way to contact you for that?
YouTube comments, Twitter, or Twitter, right?
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Nice.
Good, yeah.
Thanks so much, Nikolai.
Thank you, Michael.
Catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.